Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Signs from the Other Side, the place to share stories of signs, coincidences, and messages from the other side. I'm your host, Fern Ronay, and I am joined today by Peggy DeLong, psychologist, jewelry designer, writer, wife, and mom. And we are just waiting for Peggy to call in. There she is. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Fern. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for doing this. Peggy is working on a book as yet untitled, but the release date is March 20th, 2019, and I can't wait to chat about it because it sounds like something I will definitely want to read. It's a memoir she has been working on for the past 24 years about going through hard times and coming out stronger. Peggy, can you believe you've been working on it for 24 years?
I can't, and now I can't believe even more that it's actually going to be published. So I'm very, very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So time is such a weird thing. Like, it probably feels like, well, you're a psychologist. I don't know if you can answer that. Sometimes I think of things, and I'm like, it feels like it was yesterday, but then it also feels like it was 100 years ago.
Right, right. And when my editor had me revisit some scenes, then it really did feel like so long ago, because it's mostly from my life from 24 years ago. So to revisit that, it was really like going back in time, and it was very therapeutic, and I just can't wait to be able to tell the world my story.
Yeah, when you were 26, and so you were 26 years old. We'll talk about it, but when a lot of these things happened, and I think of who I was at 24 years old, and I was a completely different person. So it's kind of, was it a little bit like it almost wasn't even you?
Right. And because my life is so different now, it really, it feels almost that like it happened to somebody else.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So when you were 26, you were about to start your doctoral program. But from the outside looking in, it looked like you had a great life. You were about to start this wonderful doctoral program. You had what sounds like a wonderful fiance, and things were going great.
Right, right. Everything was going great. I was excited to start school, and he was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. And when we met with the oncologist, I have in my notes that we were told that he had a 15% chance of living. I don't remember hearing that, but because I wrote it down, I know that it happened, but right. I just had to put that out of my mind and do whatever I could to be there for him. And thinking that 15% chance, I couldn't be thinking that in order to really be there for him. Unfortunately, right. He passed away. But that is what my book is, mostly a story of hope. It's a love story, but mostly a story of hope. And I really hope that it reaches other young widows who want to believe that their life can be good again.
Yeah, because your life did get good again. But at the time, you you postponed your doctoral program. And how long was he in treatment?
He was only in treatment for 7 months. We were engaged for 3 months, and then he was diagnosed, and it was very aggressive. So most of the time he was in the hospital, but from the day of diagnosis until the day that he passed was 7 months.
And he, towards the end, he asked you for a favor.
Yeah.
One morning when he called, yeah.
Yeah, most of the days I spent with him, I was very grateful that my job let me take a leave of absence so that I could be there with him every day and night. My job was guaranteed when I came back, and there were just two nights that I didn't spend the night. And on one of those, he called me at 6 o'clock in the morning, even though I was going to be there in 2 hours, and with a sense of urgency. And he asked me to make a list of everybody that I knew who had died, all of my relatives. And so when I arrived at the hospital, the first thing that he asked was, do you have the list? And I didn't want to make the list. I was terrified of what it meant.
And he said that he saw them and that they all greeted him, but he didn't know who they were. And he was trying to make sense of who they were to me and what they meant to me. So I was
amazing.
So it was very amazing. And this was a man who, up until then, didn't believe in God. He was agnostic. So even when we met with the priest before in preparation for our wedding, he told the priest that he didn't believe in God. And I remember kicking him under the table, like, "Be quiet! He's not going to marry us." So for him to have a change of heart, and I remember him saying very clearly, "I changed my mind. There is a God."
Wow.
So
he's probably looking at the list, saying, "Like, that must have been that person, and that must have been that person that he saw so clearly."
Yes, and seeing the visual images of who they were, he wanted to know what they meant to me, what the relationship was. So that's comfort.
Was he saying that they were kind of like, "We're going to be here to greet you," or?
That's the way that he felt. So
yeah.
On the one hand, I was grateful that he felt that way. On the other hand, it was so scary to even think that the end was near.
Yeah. Was he going to be a psychologist as well?
No. He was in the finance. He was working for Dean Witter in New York City at the time.
Wow. I am so sorry. And then you had planned your honeymoon. You were going to go to California and drive down the coast, and you ended up doing that with your mom, which is really sweet.
Yes. My doctoral program allowed me to defer for a year, and then my mother and I ended up taking the trip that was supposed to be the honeymoon. But actually, my fiancé and I, we hadn't planned a whole lot about the honeymoon. We only knew that we wanted to do Route 1 and take the Pacific Coast Highway. And so when I was out there with my mother, we were at a traffic light in Half Moon Bay, and I remember we were making a left-hand turn onto Route 1, the Pacific Coast Highway, and there was static on the radio, so I fiddled with the radio station, and then on came our wedding song. So it couldn't have been more clear to my mother and I just looked at each other and burst into tears. We couldn't, and it was an unusual song. It was not a typical wedding song. We had chosen "I Can See Clearly Now, The Rain Is Gone."
Yes.
Because we had postponed the date of our wedding. It was supposed to be in March, and then when we learned that his treatment wouldn't be finished by then, we moved it to June. So then we thought by June, the cancer will be gone. So we thought the song would be very fitting. "I Can See Clearly Now." And then when he passed, it ended up being his funeral song. And some friends of mine from high school who were in a band sang that at his funeral. It's something that I hear it every single year on the anniversary of his passing. It might be.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Every
it's
year
amazing.
For 24 years.
Every single year. And
you hear it just,
ago,
you know, coincidentally, like on the radio or in a store?
Mostly on the radio. Well, actually, only one time was not on the radio. And a couple times it was getting close to my bedtime, and I thought, I haven't heard it yet. You better play it. And sure enough, before I went to bed, it was played. Last year, I wasn't in my car at all, and I don't listen to the radio when I'm not in my car. So I was playing cards with my children about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, right before they went to bed. And I just hit play on the music on my iPhone, and it was the first song to be played.
Oh, incredible. And it's so perfect that he was, that he didn't believe, he was agnostic, and that was the song you picked also has another meaning now, that he can see clearly now. It's perfect. It's just perfect. And he's come through in other songs too.
Yes. And one of the other ones is Sister Golden Hair. He had asked me out on a date, and for some reason we just didn't go on another date for a year later, and he said that he called me because he heard Sister Golden Hair by America on the radio, and it made him think of me, so he called me and we went out on a date, and I heard that song last summer when I was out kayaking. I was in just a very peaceful night where I like to go in the middle of the lake and watch the sunset, and the band at our community lodge was playing music. It was the 4th of July. So I paddled closer to the lodge to listen to what music they were playing. And they had taken a break. And when they came back on, the song that they played was Sister Golden Hair. So that was, I felt like that was a message for me to, you know, this is the way to live.
Yes. It's incredible. And so 6 weeks after he passed, sadly, your father was, did he have, was your father wasn't sick?
No, my father wasn't sick. And so after my fiance passed away, I came back home to live with my parents. I just couldn't bear to be in the apartment where I had lived with my fiance without him. So my parents lived about a half hour away, and I came back home, and I'm so grateful for that time, those 6 weeks that I was living at home, because then my father suddenly passed away. And before he passed, you know, he was also in the mental health field. He was a psychiatrist, so he was all into talking about feelings and processing feelings, and it was really the first the first time that my family had really together been, you know, dealing with the death of someone so young. And I just remember my father one day saying, you know, if I have it my way, I'm going to die on a chairlift. And I said, why a chairlift? You know, maybe skiing, at least you hit a tree, but at least you're skiing. And he said, no, a chairlift. That's where I feel the most at peace, breathing in the cool mountain air. That's where I feel closest to God. And 2 weeks later, my father died on a chairlift. He had a sudden
heart attack. Oh my God. Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry. But wow, is it, 2 weeks before that, he was saying that. It was like God, if he had to go, God said, if that's who you wanted. Okay.
Yes, way too young, but I really don't know anybody who gets to go the way they want to go. And to be able to have told me, so he didn't keep that thought to himself. He told me. It brought my family much comfort, as well as the entire ski community at the mountain where he passed. I know they were very, traumatized by what happened, especially the poor lift attendant.
So you told the lift attendant, like, this is exactly what he said.
Yeah, so the ski patrol were very kind. My father passed away in Vermont, and we live in New Jersey. So somehow they had to get my father's SUV down. And two members of the Okemo Mountain Ski Patrol drove his car down.
I'm so sorry.
And my mother made them dinner, and it was a really wonderful conversation that we had. So we were able to pass on to them that this is the way that he wanted to die. And so they shared that with the young ski lift.
With the others.
So it was really, I'm glad that we had that opportunity to let them know, because they were affected as well.
Right. He sounds like he was loved.
Yes, he was very loved wherever he skied. My father was kind of an outlandish kind of person. Skied with a multicolored clown wig sometimes, so he was recognizable wherever he went.
And he came through, not ironically, on your birthday on a ski lift, which so often these signs, I feel like they happen kind of a dual element, like, in case you were wondering if this is a sign from me, like, it's happening on your birthday or on another anniversary, and it's happening, like, there's another coincidence just to validate it. So I love what happened to you, what happened to you on your birthday on the ski lift.
Yes, on that day, I was at our Pocono home, and we had gotten about 2 feet of snow, which is very unusual for the Poconos. And my children were off from school for President's Weekend, and it was my birthday. And you know, the kids were young and just getting a, you know, taking a long time to get ready and out the door. And I was so anxious to get to the mountain and ski that fresh snow. So my husband stayed back and got them ready, and I went by myself. And there was nobody at the mountain. It was completely empty. I guess everybody, the snow would, you know, very dangerous travel conditions. So I had pretty much the mountain to myself. And on my, I always remembered my father being so excited when we called it East Mountain. When East Mountain opened up, it was a new section of our ski area. And I was on that chairlift. And something just made me look up. I don't normally look up because it makes me feel dizzy when I'm on the chairlift, but something made me look up. And just a couple years before, a friend of mine had told me that an eagle is a sign of that a spirit is nearby. And I had never seen an eagle, and I'd always waited and waited and waited. Like, when am I going to see an eagle and have the sign? And right on my birthday, when I looked up, sure enough, there was an eagle flying right above my head. And for the entire chairlift ride, the eagle stayed above my head and didn't fly out of sight.
You and him. Wow.
And now, and I've seen since then, that was in 2012, and since then I've seen several eagles, mostly at our ski area and also at my father's favorite place to go fishing and boating.
So it's I don't think I've ever seen an eagle in my life. Wow.
I'd say I probably see one about twice a year now.
He's definitely saying hi.
And only at those two places.
Yeah. And another place that he, was that the one in the Poconos, was that the place that he loved to go? He was there often, and your daughter.
Yeah, he was there every single Wednesday. He had Wednesdays off. And regardless of the weather, that was just his time to de-stress. So even if it was pouring rain, he would head up to Jack Frost. And he was always known for getting what's called first chair, just anxious skiers to get on the mountain. They want to get first chair. So he waited for the lifts open, and then he was usually the first in the lift line. And one Wednesday, when my middle child was three, I took her out of preschool to put her in a group lesson, and I knew that it would become a private lesson because it was during the week and just nobody's there. So she and I are walking in at 8:30 in the morning to get booted up and get her ready for her lesson. And just as we're walking in the lodge on a Wednesday, it was completely empty. There was nobody in sight. And my daughter, in her little three-year-old voice, says, "Is that man your father?" And I said, "What man?" And there was no man there.
Right.
So she knew my father had passed away. We talk about him all the time. So I just couldn't understand what was happening. And then I realized that it was Wednesday, and it was right about the time my father would be heading out the doors, right when we were coming in.
Yeah.
So
incredible. That's just incredible. And I feel like three-year-olds only, you know, they're so honest. Like she wouldn't, you know, make that up to make you feel like that, you know, they don't think that way. So she knows
exactly.
Someone
right,
who looks
right.
like, yeah.
And it was
that's
just no question.
Amazing.
No question in her mind. That was her first thought. Is that your father?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we love talking about that story all the time.
Oh, and as a psychologist, you know, I often, you know, I encounter a lot of people who are interested in the same things I'm interested in, believe in signs, and I can, you know, have this group on Facebook, and I love the Hay House Writers group on Facebook where we met, and I love chatting with people who believe the same thing. We all have these amazing stories, and they're all so different, and they're all so validating and affirming, but there, you know, you often encounter people who just don't believe and who think that we think these things because we fear death and we kind of want to rationalize it, or we are just in grief and we want to rationalize that the person we love is somewhere good. But as a psychologist, how do you reconcile one with the other?
Well, the only thing that helps me make sense of it all is just mostly the beauty of what my fiance told me. Like, I just feel mm-hmm. like there's no denying what he saw. So,
yes.
You know, there's that saying, God's coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. That's a quote by Einstein. I mean, if anybody's uh-huh. going to say something like, you know, Einstein makes that state, who relies on heavy science, mm-hmm. it's just, I almost give little tests sometimes, like, okay, if that was just a coincidence, now if you're really there, then do this. And happens. So, the only way that I can make sense of it is just that it is happening to me. If it were somebody else telling me these stories, I would be skeptical. But because they've happened to me and happened to someone who didn't believe until it happened to mm-hmm. him, that's how I can make sense of it. And a psychologist, I have to rely on science. I never, in my work with my clients, I don't introduce ideas or work on techniques that haven't been proven by research to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my background. There just has to be belief and trust. There's no, people can question me, and that's okay. I know what happened to me, and I know and
exactly.
continue to, and I'm grateful for that. And there's no denying what I witnessed with my fiance.
Exactly. And so you, it was so, you know, reading your story, and then going to your website, it was so, I felt such, I've just felt relief when I saw your adorable husband and three beautiful children. I'm like, oh, she got a happy ending. Thank you.
Yes.
So you ended up meeting your husband in your doctoral program, right?
No, actually, we met skiing.
We met at
a mountain biking party with our ski friends. So most of my friends knew him before I did. So it was kind of nice.
How many years later?
2 years later.
Okay, good. And he's a is he a psychologist too? Or am I reading
that
wrong?
He's a teacher.
Oh, okay. I completely misread that. Okay. Oh, how nice.
Okay.
So it's so nice that I just feel so happy for you that he came into your life when you were ready, it sounds like, 2 years later.
Yeah, I wasn't ready before then, and the timing was perfect. If I had met him any earlier, I wouldn't have been ready. Even after 2 years, still carrying around a lot of baggage, and so I needed to be with somebody who could to tolerate that and who was strong enough
mm-hmm.
to be with me. And
mm-hmm.
thankfully, I found my husband John, and he is everything.
Aww. Has he
and
read the
book? Veteran. He has not read the book. And
thank
he,
him for his service today. We're recording this on Veterans Day. Yes.
Yes. He was in the United States Air Force for 4 years as a young man. While I was in college and skiing, he was
mm-hmm.
off serving our country. So I'm very proud
right.
of him.
Thank you to him.
Sure.
And he's
yeah,
read
so
the book?
He has not read the book, and I have asked him several times, do you want to read it before it's published? You're in it. But that's the other part. He completely, I could not do it without his blessing. And to have him give his blessing without even reading it means the world to me.
Yeah.
So
he's that your fiance. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, so my husband is essentially the hero of the book.
Yeah. Do you think your fiance, what was your fiance's name?
Scott.
Do you think Scott maybe in some way sent him along your path?
Well, it's funny you say that because, after my losses and I was grieving terribly, so many people had suggested that I see a medium.
And I recorded the, both of them I recorded, and then I typed them into my computer word for word. So I'm so grateful that I have everything transcribed. And one of the mediums, one of them said that it would be Scott who somehow brought John to me. And so just
I
what you said,
believe
I think
it.
Is what happened.
I think so. I think that's true love, that you just want to see your loved one be with the person they're meant to be with and find happiness. And it sounds like that's what happened.
Yeah, right. And, after someone passes away, and it took time for me to really, realize that, is that the love never dies. By me being with somebody else, it doesn't mean that my love for my fiance is dead or will ever disappear. It's just in my heart. But I had to make room in my life for someone in the physical world to be with. I just have too much love in me to be alone.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't. And the same with my mother. My mother was my role model. She started dating before me. So it was kind of strange. So we were two widows living together. So I was 26 and she was 52. And so we're both widows.
That's a movie. There is a movie in there.
And it just, the coincidences go on and on. My fiance passed away on the same day that my stepfather's wife passed away. And we actually shared the funeral, and we shared the funeral home with them, not knowing that in the future our lives would come together.
So your mom started dating again, like you said, before you, and she fell in love and married your stepfather?
Yes.
Who
and his wife died on the,
buried his
on
wife
the same day.
Oh.
Yeah, they
oh my
lived
goodness.
In the same town. Yeah.
Oh, that gives me chills. How did they meet?
They actually met at a bereavement group. After my fiance died, 2 weeks later, I started going to a bereavement group, and it was so helpful for me to be with other people who were experiencing grief. Very different. My friends and family were extremely helpful, but it's just a different way of getting help. So then when my father passed, a month later, I encouraged my mother to attend, and she reluctantly came, and that's where they met.
Oh, how perfect. I mean, it's like a movie. That's
so
amazing. I'm glad you brought up go ahead, yeah.
Oh, they've been married 19 years, and my husband and I have been married 20 years.
Oh, I love it. So you guys got married first. She let you.
Yes, even though
the
they had been dating
longer.
My mother, just the kind of person she is, she wanted me to be married first.
Aw. I'm glad you brought up the bereavement group. For anyone listening, I have a family member who we've often encouraged to go to a group for people who've lost children, and she hasn't, but there's something so powerful in the words Me Too, and it's interesting that the Me Too movement has happened in the past year, because those words are so, I always found them to be so powerful. There's only so much, friends and family can say to someone who's in grief, but there's something so powerful about saying, like, I feel the same, I went through the same thing you went through, and I feel the same way. Me too. I think there's healing in hearing someone else say that.
Oh, absolutely. It's an unspoken connection that is felt that is really difficult to describe. But as soon as I stepped foot in that room, I'll never forget how comfortable I felt that everybody else knew that without saying a word. We all knew everybody agreed differently, but we still had an unspoken understanding and connection. So when I work with people in my private practice who are grieving, I usually recommend that they seek out a bereavement group. And also individual. I couldn't have gotten through what I did without individual therapy as well.
Right.
With a grief counselor.
Right.
So those
such a big believer in therapy.
Yes.
Oh,
and being a
therapy is wonderful. Yeah, thank you for what you do too. I think therapy is, everyone should get it, I think.
Yes, unfortunately, it's not always affordable. So I donate.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I volunteer my time. I do free workshops in my community just to try to
so
help
nice.
As many people who can't afford it for one reason or another. But that's
yeah.
my way of giving back.
Very nice. So your book comes out March 20th, 2019, and you don't have a title yet, but you will be getting the title in a couple of days, so people should find you on social media. Will you be announcing the title? Do you have a cover yet?
No, we don't have the cover yet.
Okay.
So, the book is right now in the final stages of putting all of that together. So it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Every day something new is happening, but by Tuesday
uh-huh.
I'll know the title. And then I'll really be able to, once we have the title, really be able to talk about it. I just feel funny talking about it now when I don't have a title yet. But
right.
Two more days.
So will people
and
be
then,
able to look? On your social media, or on your website too?
Yes.
Or do you
have
a different website for the book?
Well, I have the book will be on my psychology website, which is drpeggydelong.com. And
okay.
that is also my Instagram name, and also my Facebook page is all drpeggydelong.com. So I'll be announcing progress toward publication and announcing the book launch party, and all of that will be on my psychology page. And every now and then when appropriate, I'll also be posting on my mental health bracelet website and social media site.
I was just going to mention that. So I'm going to update the show notes and make sure to put drpeggydelong.com website, and then also that's your Instagram. And that, because I also have right now Peggy's Midnight Creations, which are they're absolutely beautiful bracelets. And that started, what made you start beading?
Well, I started beading about 10 years ago. My town was offering classes for adults. There were things like photography, jewelry, sewing, you name it, really wonderful opportunities for adults. So there was a jewelry making class. So I took it
mm-hmm.
and absolutely fell in love with the therapeutic effects of beading. I really became addicted, and I made so many pairs of earrings, hundreds and hundreds of pairs of earrings. Thankfully, my children's elementary schools have these holiday boutiques where they were able to sell them for me. So I was just, and beading became my therapy. As I'm also a forensic psychologist, and I specialize in child abuse and neglect. And a lot of my writing takes place at night. So I would write from, when my children were little, I would write from about 8 o'clock until midnight. And then I just couldn't go to bed with these horrible stories of child abuse
mm-hmm.
in my head. I had to do something to unwind. So beading became my therapy in my way, so that I had, was able to go to sleep and not have nightmares about
what I was going
to
ask you. Yes, I was going to ask you where the name came from. That makes perfect sense. People always also talk about, you should meditate. Meditating is so important. And I think people think that meditating has to be kind of just like sitting in a room going, but it could be. Like my mom does a crossword puzzle every day, and I'm like, you meditate every day. It slows your breathing. It relaxes you. That could be meditating. So I find this the same thing with beading. I like to play games on my phone sometimes just to slow my breathing and concentrate and at the same time not concentrate on, not let my thoughts take over, which they often do. Sounds like that's what it was doing for you.
Right. That's exactly what it does for me. In fact, I'm giving a workshop. My December workshop is on that topic, different ways of achieving, the state of meditation, that it doesn't have to be sitting in a chair. And there's so many different ways that we can be mindful mm-hmm. and, achieve that state. So that's something I love talking about and sharing with people. And then
my bracelet, my jewelry kind of switched gears. For about 5 years, mm-hmm. I've been doing a gratitude workshop. So I travel to libraries, community centers, women's groups, and talk about the power of gratitude. And mm-hmm. then with the jewelry, I thought, well, why don't I try making a gratitude bracelet? So I went into mm-hmm. three different stores in my area, completely unexpected, unannounced, uninvited, and respectfully asked the store owner if she would be interested in carrying my gratitude bracelet. Well, they all said yes, and then they all sold Aww. Out, and now they're available in 30 stores around the country. And that really inspired me to not just make a gratitude bracelet, but to also make an entire line of bracelets for coping with grief, loss, and difficulty. Because when I returned to work after my father and my fiancé had passed away, I had been given angels in so many different forms, in pillows, pens, pins, necklaces. But it was the bracelets that brought me so much comfort to be able to look down at my wrist and see a bracelet with an angel attached. It was just so comforting for me to go back to work with and look at that during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that makes sense. Yeah.
So it really is so meaningful to me to be able to, you know, I can't take away people's pain after the loss of a loved one mm-hmm. or a new diagnosis,
right.
but I can help people
right.
be able to bring comfort to a loved one by sending them a special bracelet. So
I love
really
it. And they're really pretty.
Thank you.
They're really pretty. So I'm going to also keep that website and the Instagram for Peggy's Midnight Creations in the show notes, but I'll add drpeggydelong.com. You're doing so many wonderful things. Thank you. Thank you on behalf of the world.
Well, selfishly, I do it for myself. I really, and I'm grateful that it helps other, in the process helps other people because this is really my therapy. I don't feel right when I don't bead. I'm a happier mother and partner when I'm calm and beading is what does that for me. Not just the beading, but actually it has opened up an entire world for me of connecting with women and my customers in a way that I never even imagined, just on a daily basis.
I can imagine.
It's extremely gratifying, and I'm so grateful to have kind of discovered this different way of using my mental health background and connecting mm-hmm. with people and beading. And then I also get to write. I love to write, and every bracelet comes with an inspirational message. So that's mm-hmm. another way that I get to, you know, incorporate some writing.
Perfect.
So I just feel
it's
extremely, extremely
trifecta of Dr. Peggy DeLong, beading, book, and psychology. I love it. It's so perfect. Thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank
you. I love
you.
Chatting with you.
This
is so great.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening, please check out the show notes to find out about drpeggydelong.com and Peggy's Midnight Creations, and check out the Instagram page because they're really pretty. And thank you again, and have a wonderful night, and thank you again to your husband.
Thank you, Fern. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good night.
Of course, have a great night. Thanks.
You too.
And
bye-bye.
Thank you to everyone listening. You can find me on all social media at Fern Ronay. Have a good day, great night, and sweet dreams.